This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Right. Well, when they're labeled, you feel like compelled to put it back in its spot. You know, when it's
easier
not labeled,
to put it there than everywhere. I mean, the general rule of thumb of any kind of organizing is it should be easier to put away than it is to take out. Because when you want something, you're motivated. When you're done with it, you're not.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, you can see me. We're on radio here, but you can see me since you and I are looking at each other. I have all these bins behind me here.
Yeah. Yep.
These do not work for children at all.
No.
These only work for adults. They don't work for children because it's a three-step process to put anything away.
Yeah. Okay.
And you need two hands, so it never works.
Okay.
So you always want a bin that's half the size.
The kids
and then
can
a label
throw things
here.
In. Yeah.
Exactly. Or anybody can. You have a handful of Peppa Pig, you walk by and toss it in.
Right. Exactly.
That's this. You stick it on top and say, I'll get to it later, and later never comes.
You know, it's funny because organizing with your kids actually preserves the length of the life of their toys. Like kids lose game pieces all the time and this and that. And because everybody's just throwing it around.
Yeah.
Now, what do? You throw them out and start over?
Well, it's not even losing game pieces. What happens mostly in playrooms today is that everything is organized by putting it in a clear bin with a lid and then pushed to the side.
Right.
So somebody can vacuum.
Yeah.
So let's say the mom comes home, or they all come home and mom wants to make dinner. So she says to the kids, all right, go downstairs and play. So the kids go downstairs and play. And what happens is they can't find anything. So
yeah,
they turn
around.
It's
all haphazardly in boxes.
Right. Or it's in bins that they can't get to because there's lids on them. They're piled up. You know,
yeah.
So it looks good, but doesn't function.
Makes sense.
What happens is they turn around, go right back to mom and bug her because she's the toy that will always interact with them. So she's thinking, you have a million toys. Why aren't you down there playing? The kids can't voice it, but they're like, we can't find anything.
Right.
So we're going to play up here right under your feet instead with, you know, whatever we have right here. So the parents aren't getting the money they spent on money out of the toys that they bought. The kids aren't getting any use of the space whatsoever. It's become just a giant dumping ground.
Right.
And the mom is so frustrated. The dad's frustrated. The family's frustrated. The playroom, which should be fun, has become like a source of stress for everybody.
Yeah.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hey there, I'm Evelyn Cucciara, the Toy Tamer. I do custom playroom organizing. I come into your home, put in the right structure or system, and make it so that your kids actually want to clean up. We're raising kids who can't do anything because we do everything for them, and then we're surprised when they're teens and they can't do anything. This solves that entire problem. It gives you a clean, neat playroom right away, but it really is teaching your kids executive functioning skills for the future.
All right, Evelyn, thanks for coming on the podcast. We met, I think, originally through one of my networking groups, right? You were a guest on the peer group.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. And we started talking and you helped us very nicely with all of our 30-second elevator pitches, which in hindsight, I think I'm the only one who actually listened to you because nothing else has changed with other people. Maybe one.
That's so funny because I think I did at least 10 people from that group.
Yeah. Look, maybe they're so good I didn't notice, you know. This week we didn't, Susanna did a presentation, so we didn't do elevator pitches. But yeah, I mean, it gets to be old when you know the whole group.
Exactly. You need to change it up a bit.
You can have other people do everyone else's elevator pitch and see if they listen.
Yeah, but that just seems to waste your time. You know, it's like it takes longer and you don't get put out what you want to get put out.
Yeah. So how did you, I know we're going to get into your background and entrepreneurship and the Toy Tamer, but how did you start doing the elevator pitch, you know?
Well, that's interesting. It's because I was once on a phone call with a business coach and she was explaining to me that the best way to get in front of your right customer is to give them information. So I was going to try to give them information about organizing their playroom. Right. However, that wasn't really getting to a broad enough group because moms always put everything they want last, so to speak.
Right.
So she suggested I go in and approach things from a different angle. She suggested I go and talk about micro-niching, which my business is a real micro-niche.
Right. About
micro-niching, but talk to other women entrepreneurs. Because those are the people who need my toy taming, but they'll listen more when I'm talking about business. And then at the same time, they hear what I do. So that then springboard to the 30-second thing.
Right.
Because I just love streamlining everything. So when I hear people just meandering about in their 30-second elevator speech, they're wasting their 30 seconds. So I mean, that's your little commercial.
They're just
like, let's make
it
the best
they
can.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that off mic, all kinds of ways to automate things, do short keyboard shortcuts for emails that you normally do. I have templates that I use, so you don't have to rethink everything. Just copy and paste it, or I guess the shortcuts are even better. You can type in a code and then...
Right. I think the danger of...
For your codes.
Right. But I think the danger of redoing it every time is you are going to leave off key points because you won't realize
remember.
It because
sure.
it's so old to you. Like the fact you like how to reach you or anything like that, you know, the things that are second nature to you for the person who's just hearing you or seeing you or meeting you or emailing you for the first time, they're not going to know any of that stuff.
Right.
So why keep reinventing the wheel?
I find people don't even use signatures on their emails that are canned, you know? I mean,
Right.
You should have all your information on your email every time you click reply or you start a new email. It should say the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Social media
or
links,
they have
whatever.
Too much information.
Sometimes
I've seen ones that have like, you know, like a whole nother email tag to the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. And there's ways to, I don't know if you know about Linktree. So you can do a Linktree and you don't have to have 14 links to all of your social media pages.
Yeah.
You just do one Linktree.
I use Linktree on Instagram all the time. I never thought to use it other places, but that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. On my Linktree, I have links to the podcast social media pages, my social media pages, my website. Mm-hmm. I think my calendar, I have a whole list of them. So this way I just put that on my email and then they can go there and have a ball.
Yeah. And it's so easy to update Linktree and it's free. I mean,
Exactly. I don't do the pro. Actually, I just found out you can add you can link it to MailChimp or Constant Contact, but that one you have to pay for. So people can add to your mailing list, but no, whatever. Try and do what you can. So let's talk a little bit about your background as an entrepreneur and what other businesses you've been in. I assume you haven't been doing Toy Tamer since birth. So that developed over time. So why don't you start there as to, you know, where you grew up, what your background was, how you kind of got started in businesses and stuff like that.
Sure. Well, for your listeners, we are in New Jersey and I am Jersey born and bred, which means I have never pumped gas in my life. I do not want to know how. Do not tell me it's easy.
People don't understand that. I know.
Exactly. It is a thing. If you live in Jersey, you got to have some perks. So my perk is I've never pumped gas and I'm not like 18 years old. So it's been a long time. Never pumped gas. But I grew up knowing that I always wanted to do something with kids. From the seventh grade, I knew I wanted to be an art teacher. I didn't want to be an artist. I wanted to be an art teacher. That appealed to the organized side of my brain. So fast forward a bit, I went to school and got my bachelor's in art therapy and art education, then got my master's in art education, was in art therapy for a while, art therapist for a while, then went to work in the corporate, or as corporate as you can get in the art world, for a fine art poster publisher, worked there for a couple of years. And then I had a child, well, I got married and I had a child, and couldn't find daycare for him because my in-laws, who were lovely Italian immigrants, were watching my son, and anything he wanted was what he got. don't like that shape pasta, you can have this shape pasta. Right. So he was becoming like a little uncontrollable. So I was looking out to daycare, and this was in the 90s, I guess.
Okay.
And all the daycares had waiting lists.
Oh,
so
really?
I remember clearly every daycare had a waiting list. I remember clearly sitting in my office looking up Broadway in Manhattan going, all right, I can do this. So I call up the daycare and they're like, oh yeah, we have a 6 month waiting list. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What?
So this, you were in corporate already at this point.
Yeah, I was in corporate when I had my first son. I have three boys.
Okay.
And then, so I decided this isn't going to work. And somehow I came across family daycare, which is when you have kids in your own home. It's all state certified stuff. Never heard of it. Never had an inkling to do that.
Right.
But the scenario said, all right, we're going to do this. I have a background in education. Why not? So I quit my job and I opened up that business, which was really my first entrepreneur thing. I didn't grow up saying I want to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
I grew up saying I wanted to be an art teacher. But, you know, life takes you different ways.
And I know there's different regulations depending on how many kids you have in your house, right? If you have five or less, you don't need to be as regulated.
Right. And this was a while ago. So you could have five plus whatever you had.
Got it. Your kids didn't count.
Exactly. So when I started, I had one. Then while I was still doing that, I had another. And then when I found out I was having a third, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. You know, eight kids in me from 7 a.m. till 6 p.m. with no sick time, nothing. I'm like, all right, what else can we do? And I looked around and my town had a couple kids art classes going and they always had wait lists. So I said, oh, let me do that.
That's your background.
So I started an art studio. Yeah, it was great. And I thought I was going to deal with, you know, after school kids and that sort of stuff. But what I found out I loved, and this was my first micro niche business, is that 2 and 3 year olds had nowhere to go for art class.
Right. Because that's even pre-K. That's before pre-K. Right.
Exactly. Most places started at age 4. I'm like, there's a whole big group of kids here. And I actually love that age because everything excites them. And for me, their moms would stay with them. So it means I had no diapers, no food.
Right.
It was a win-win.
It's like Gymboree, right? Isn't that the age that they do that stuff?
Very similar. Very similar. And I was all into the interactive stuff. So we would do a story and then an art thing. We'd go outside for a little bit. So it was a full, whole thing all in like an hour. So
right.
Love doing that. So I closed my family daycare in, I think, June of whatever year that was, and opened up the art studio in September of that year and had a kid in between. I had my third son in July of that year because, you know, you had to do it. You look back, you're like, what in the world was I thinking? But
Well,
when you're there, you do it.
Entrepreneurship. Yeah,
exactly. So I did that business, which was called Art Adventures, for almost 20 years. Went dipped in and out. We did some house flipping for a little while. Me and my husband, he's always been an entrepreneur too. And pretty much at the time, then I got bored with that. So I changed.
Now, did you grow that? Was it like one location or?
Oh, no, I was just one because I didn't want to get so big that I couldn't be involved in the day to day.
Right.
And I was the secret sauce is what I like to say in that one. So
worked
out perfect, worked around my kids' schedules because you could do it any way you wanted. I had a huge following. People still see me on the street and call me Mrs. C. So, you know,
fun.
And I haven't done
that
for like 3 years. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's great. And so what I did at the time, I was looking around for something else to do. And the studio was in the rear of my home. So to get to the bathroom, you'd have to go through my kitchen. And moms would always say, why is your house neat and clean all the time? And you always know what's for dinner every night. Because on a tile, I would write what was for dinner every night so that I didn't have to listen to my children asking me 50,000 times what's for dinner tonight.
Another system and shortcut, right?
Systems and habit. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I said, what are you talking about? Everybody's house is like this. And they're like, yeah, no. I'm like, really? Huh. So I wrote a book.
You thought that was like normal. Everybody does this. Like,
exactly.
It made sense to you. Why would they not? Right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, I believe once you put in systems and habits, life is smooth.
Right.
Not like this bumpy roller coaster.
Right.
So I wrote a book called 30 Days to an Organized Home. First, it was an ebook. Then I found out at the time, disorganized people did not read ebooks.
That's funny.
Yep. So I wrote it, turned it into an actual hold in your hand book, which became an Amazon bestseller. And from that, I attempted to open up a business teaching young families better time management skills. Made perfect sense to me, right?
Right.
However, the problem was that nobody had time to learn how to have more time because they're in the thick of it.
They can't manage their time to learn about managing their time.
Exactly. So I took a step back and I said, well, what can I do for them? And I'm like, wait a minute.
Okay.
I have this whole method of putting toys away from when I used to run family daycare because at the end of those days, I didn't want to spend another half hour putting the toys away and it was all in my home. So I didn't want to sit there with everything. So I'm like, I have all these happy helpers. Let me figure out how it can be fun for them.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, I could just sit down or just deal with my own kids.
Okay.
So that's what I did. So I said, all right, let me do this let me just organize playrooms. I had no idea that it didn't exist. I had no idea that nobody.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody. Yeah, I mean they do closet organizing and stuff like that, but I don't think they do playrooms.
Completely
right?
Different thing. Yep.
Yeah.
So I started this business. The Toy Tamer name just popped into my head because that's exactly what I do. I go in and I tame your toys. And when I started, it was more for just a neat, clean playroom because that was my goal. I wanted to be able to sit down and read a book at the end of the day. But what I found out is that the system I put in place actually teaches the kids executive functioning skills so that they can learn the skills they need when they're young.
Sure.
So they can organize their lives as they get older.
Right.
So we're giving them a clean, neat playroom, but in reality, the kids are just learning what they need to function in today's world.
So you just, with the arts stuff, you just was time to move on. You just felt like,
yeah, I was just bored and I was the secret sauce in that. So yeah, I couldn't really,
it's all dependent on you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I didn't really want that. The toy taming right now sort of all depends upon me, but I really like this still because it's not every day. Like,
okay, well,
let's talk about that
because I have some questions for it because I've seen the videos and the transformation, mm-hmm. and we'll put the links in the show notes. So there's great videos on your YouTube channel showing these magical transformations of these.
Yeah, they're all on Facebook too. In fact, there's more on Facebook.
They're more on Facebook than YouTube?
Yeah.
So how do you, let's talk about how you run your business, right? Because you obviously don't do it yourself. I see there's other people in the videos that are putting things together. So, mm-hmm. you know, how do you run your business? How do you get your business? And, you know, as an entrepreneur, develop the business
sure.
and yeah.
Well, that person you see in the video, that's my husband.
So just the two of you?
Just the two of us. Exactly. Okay. We've been married for, God, what's this year? 37 years. We've been married a long time. Okay. We get along really well. And he has his own business too. He does property management. So he's flexible. So when we have a toy taming job and we usually do one or two a week, I handle all the background, like getting all the stuff, you know, or figuring out all the stuff. And then together we'll pick up all the stuff and then together we'll go to the job and he assembles while I sort and organize everything. And then we finish it all in one day that way.
And just the two of you. So you don't have any other, I couldn't tell from the videos. There's other people, like somebody's working the camera, right?
Nope.
You just
my
set that up
on tripod.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Just
okay.
That.
All right.
Me.
So what about, yeah. I mean, there must be office stuff, right? You got to market, promote.
Yes, that's where I spend most of my time.
Yeah.
Because of the fact, nobody, I like to say, nobody Googles playroom organizer. And if they do, they're looking for some sort of a storage unit. They're not looking for a person.
Right.
So my customer, who's a busy parent, does not know that they can hire somebody to do what I do.
Right.
And the way I come in and do it, I do so they don't have to do a darn thing. They don't have to pick up anything. They don't have to organize anything. They don't have to take anything away. We do everything for them to make it super simple. So what I do is I spend a lot of time on social media simply spreading the word that such a thing exists. Because when people find out that what I do exists, usually if they need me, their jaw just drops. And they're like, what? You do what?
Right, of course.
Like I had
well,
one
they
husband,
have the problem.
Yeah,
the only solution.
Exactly.
So.
Right, which they didn't know
existed.
The best
solution, right. Okay.
Yeah, I like to call it, it's like when I tell them that like it's like a flying unicorn. They're like, what? Like that exists?
Right.
So I post a lot of videos lately during the self-isolation thing, since I haven't been going into people's homes. I've been doing a lot of answering questions or like there's so many videos on, I think I've done like 60 videos since this whole thing started. I'm just answering different people's questions about like how to go about doing their playroom. And then I just launched a DIY course too. So if somebody doesn't want to hire me to come in and do it, they can do the course and get everything in my head, but do it themselves.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So you made a little bit of a pivot because you said that a lot of your suppliers were not open.
Right, right.
Difficult to get stuff. So you had to keep yourself relevant so people wouldn't think you passed away during the pandemic.
Right. You know? Exactly. I would have to say that people, I mean, I feel that people are sick of seeing me, but they're probably not. But
no.
But I felt vindicated when just the other day I was on Instagram and somebody popped up and somebody was posted something about here's a little video of me cleaning up the playroom. How many times does everybody do this every day? And somebody said, you have to follow the toy tamer. She changed my playroom's life. And I did not even know the person who said the comment.
Really?
So exactly. I didn't know the person who made the comment. I've never talked to her. She's just interacts with, she knows me through my videos.
Right.
And I didn't know the person who posted the little video of the playroom.
But was it a job you did?
No. No, so, she probably just has taken all my tips and done
so
stuff
in
herself.
So she learned from you. Yeah.
Exactly. But
there
I was like, well, good. At least people know, you know, who to refer to, whether it's,
well,
you know,
especially
I'm happy to help people.
Yeah, they can take your course. They're in Texas. You're not going to go to their basement.
Yeah.
Tame
exactly.
their toys. They might as well teach them how to do it. You know, maybe at some point, I don't know how ambitious you want to be, but you probably could get people who want to start the business in.
That's exactly the plan. Yeah.
Other locations.
We hit a certain hurdle, I'll be, in other words, like certifying other toy tamers.
Right. Plus you have economies of scale in terms of purchasing supplies and, you know, a system as to how you do it and the whole, you know, nine yards. All right. So if you are, out on social media, which do you find are better, you know, the platforms where you reach the parents more so than others? I'm definitely not LinkedIn, I would think so.
Yeah. You know, every once in a while people tell me, oh, you should be on LinkedIn, which is true because my customer is there, but they're not thinking home when they're on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
They're in the business alley or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So I'm not on LinkedIn as that much because I don't get a lot. I find Instagram is great for inquiries and for people finding out about me, but Facebook is where people actually make decisions.
Interesting.
I get more customers through Facebook than Instagram.
Okay. So you do a lot of paid Facebook advertising?
No, I don't do any paid.
Really?
Because it's never really worked for me. Yeah. I just, like we were talking earlier before we started recording, with the videos that I do, I go in and I post them on a lot of mom type groups. So like once a week, I'll post a video.
Right.
But we are to the point now where if in any of those mom type groups, if somebody asks about playrooms, at least two or three people will mention me in that thing.
Right. Yeah. Groups are good because if you post it just on your feed, if you're not, a lot of people don't see it unless you're paying
for it. Right. So when I post the videos on the groups, I get for each video, I get about, I don't know, 3,000 to 5,000 views.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because they're interesting. Yeah. People are always looking for interesting, transformational type of things.
Exactly. And I've tried like before and after pictures and they don't get as big of a result. Lately, I'm finding Instagram doesn't like to share or spread the word on any sort of video or double picture or anything.
Really?
I'm like single pictures. Yeah, it's bizarre. It's like completely opposite what you would think. But like my stat or my analytics say, oh yeah, well, here's like a video. We'll show that to 300 people. Whereas here's a still photo. We'll show that to 2,000 people. I'm like, what?
Maybe because Facebook owns Instagram, right? It's the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're driving you one way or the other, I think.
Exactly.
You know,
so you kind of just pivot and adapt.
What about Pinterest? Have you ever looked at Pinterest? I know there's a lot of
I didn't before DIY because of the fact my normal customer isn't a DIY person, but now since I came out with my DIY course,
maybe you put on a board or something.
Exactly. So now like in the last 2 weeks I've been trying to learn the new language of Pinterest, which is a completely different language and it's nothing like it was 3 years ago.
No. Yeah, so, it's a different platform. I used to do some Pinterest stuff because there are some attorneys like using Pinterest, but they're more the ones that are working with like photographers and, you know, wedding planners and those are the people that were, you know, right, exactly. If that's the kind of area that you practice in, and I don't really do that. So, you know, sometimes I post some things, but I find that, well, for me, LinkedIn is definitely probably the best because I deal with financial advisors and all those types of things. And then maybe
the anti-creatives. Yeah. You're on the anti-creatives.
Exactly.
So LinkedIn is the most anti-creative platform out there.
Yeah. Cause it's all business, just B2B, you know, nobody's going to hire you to fix their playroom at their office.
No, but I have done I did this huge Greek center down in Jersey here where she found me a couple years ago somewhere. Yeah. Which was kind of cool.
You mean they had like a playroom in the church or something? And
No, it's called Imagine, a grief center for children. It's this huge place down in this Union County.
And Imagine. Yeah, because I know Mary Robinson.
Yeah, exactly. Mary saw me at Mansion in May a couple years ago.
Yes.
So she held on to my info for a couple years, and now she has that great space down there. So we went in and did all three or four of the spaces. They're huge.
Yeah, they're big space. So they have, because they have parents that come in with kids and the kids have to be
and
busy.
They're divided in ages. So, so we did all their playrooms. Less than a year ago now. Mary's lovely.
Yeah, I would think that any kind of organization that caters to children, young children, like, even a waiting room, right, at a doctor's office when we finally go back to those.
It gets tricky, though, because I've reached out to a couple doctors and stuff. But what happens is that if they have a TV in the space, there's no point in doing anything because the kids will just be glued to the television.
Exactly.
If they don't have a TV in the space, it's hard to convince them to spend any money on that aspect because it doesn't really increase their bottom line.
Right.
So,
there's a woman there's a woman in Clark called the Tooth Fairy. She has a kids pediatric dentistry and she has a huge playroom and there's toys everywhere and. you know, but I, you know, she gets value out of having it, but a lot of it's video games, like you said, and televisions, right. And because the kids are not, the older kids don't have, and you're not taking your 2 or 3 year old to the dentist generally, you know, maybe a little bit.
Exactly.
Not much,
and right? Not enough that you need to do a whole playroom. Yeah, exactly. So I do mostly individuals, and we do them all over, because when we go in to do the transformation, there's a day where I go to take a look at the space by right. myself. My husband doesn't go with me. But then when we go to do the install, it's just one day. So we'll go to Long Island. We'll go to South Jersey. We've gone all over because it's one day. And then it's all set. There's no learning curve. The kids take it over. They learn. Parent doesn't have a mess. It's all good.
Yeah. Now, how many do you have you ever followed up to know if they're actually keeping up with it and just trashed now after you?
Yeah. Well, yes, because the fact that when we come in to do your playroom, it includes free labels forever because your kids are going to outgrow Peppa Pig and then they're going to need Barbie or something. So the way the system keeps going is we simply make a new label for the space, for the cubby. So they can send me photographs and then I make new labels for them. But I also reach out every couple months because some people feel bad about reaching out. I'm like, no. Definitely reach out. It takes a couple seconds for me to make new labels. And then it keeps going forever. So as long as the parents take me pictures, then yeah, it stays great. But yeah, even during this whole virus thing, I've heard from customers who I've done 2-3 years ago. And they're like, our playroom looks exactly like it did when you left. The kids keep it clean and neat, organized, because they get immediate gratification. The kids do when they match a bin of Peppa Pig to a picture of their own Peppa Pig. Doesn't matter how old you are. You want that. Yes, I did it feeling. So grandparents put things away, play dates, put things fish. Yeah.
I mean, you could compete easily, but not so easily. I mean, you'd have to buy the stuff and find the things and kind of create your, like you've been through this, you know, the kind of bins you want to use and how you use it mm-hmm. and why. I mean, what I'm saying? Like, I mean, sure, I could also open a burger joint down the street and compete with McDonald's, but they kind of have a system down. So it seems to me like you've kind of worked out the methodology, the psychology of how kids put toys away and what motivates them to be organized.
That's what I love to do. I love to go into a messy space with the family because once I talk to the kids and the parents, I can already envision what needs to be there.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSite. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSite and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable, and most of all, help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
For example, if you have a kid who loves to build with Lego, do they like to keep the Lego creations, in which case they need display space, or do they take them apart, which case they need brick storage space? Is there a younger sibling? So the older sibling's afraid their Lego's going to get trashed while they're at school and the younger sibling's home. Like, what do we need to make everything work for this family? Like, dress up clothes. Is there a mirror so the kids can see what they look like? I mean, why get dressed up if you can't see what you look like?
Right.
A lot of it, to me, is common sense, but to the majority of people, it does not seem to be. Most people.
Plus, you're out there identifying it all the time. They're only doing it one time to their basement. You only have, you know, your kids once. I don't remember what we did. We were the same thing, by the way. We had bins. They were piled up. We created shelves but you know, it would get stacked up. So then you'd have to take one out and then one would say a matchbox cars, but they would get mixed up and then there'd be other things in there. And I wish we still had some of that stuff, but we try. My wife is the bin lady. If there could be something, we got bins for everything, but it's very hard to, you know, be organized. You label the bins, you want to keep the bins, and you move. And, you know, I don't even know where half the stuff went to.
Tell your wife it doesn't make any sense to label the bin. It makes more sense to label the shelf. Because if you label the bin, only usually one person in the house knows where that bin lives. Whereas if you label the shelf, if you have, let's say, a bin of, I don't know, tape or cords or whatever, you know what's in the bin. You don't need to see a bin with the label on it. What you need to do is figure out where that belongs, which is why for kids, especially, you only want half-size bins and hanging labels off the shelf.
So the label's not on the bin? Well, if they take the bin out of the shelf, what happens if they forget which? Well, they can tell what's in it, I guess.
Yeah, it's easy to tell what Peppa Pig is versus Barbie. And it also encourages kids to mix and match. They can then take Peppa Pig and build house for her out of magnet tiles.
And separate it later.
And then it's time to clean up. Right. It all starts with a bell, so the kids are completely in charge of it. So the kids ring the bell, they sort really quickly, and then they can put everything back on the shelves really quickly because the bins, the kids can tell, magnet tiles versus, you know, matchbox car. Then the question always is, where does the bin go? And if there's no photo for kids, again, no photo of their own toy, not like a generic picture of a Hot Wheels car, a picture of their own toy and where it goes, how can you not put that bin right there? It's an empty space waiting for the bin.
Oh, so you put a label and the picture of their toy?
Yeah. Hang on.
Well, especially if they're two or three and they can't read yet, right?
Well, yeah, but labels work great for anybody. Here. I know radio can't see it. This is a typical label.
Laminated, oh, okay. So it says balls, and then you show pictures of their balls.
Of their balls. And then it hangs like here. But the bin's only half the size.
Right. So they can toss things in. I got it.
Yep. Toss them right in. Yeah. And we do all sorts of fun things like stuffed animals. I'll do like carnival games on the wall where we take bells and mount them sideways and paint a tree so the kids can wing the animals at the wall and try to hit the bells. But then they fall into wire bins below. So whether they hit the bell or not, doesn't matter. The animals are still away. The question is, how do you make it all a game for the kids so they want to do it?
Right.
And that's what toy taming is all about.
Well, it seems like you've mastered the psychology of how to get your kids to do things that they don't want to do. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's the key, right? Kids don't want to clean up. They want to.
Nope.
And we have friends, their house is a mess. And it's because they just never, I'd use the term that you're using, but they never tamed their kids. They never.
Right.
Like give them habits. And then, it, you know, after a while, it doesn't have to be a game anymore. They get older. They're in habits. They like it to be neater than not, you know, they live in chaos. They're fine with having it be chaotic. You know, it's not
exactly. And then they can't find anything and then they lose their homework and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. It all carries over.
Yeah. And your average 4-year-old wants to be in charge of every aspect of their world. And we let them be in charge of nothing.
Right.
So if we give them a place where they're in charge of, I mean, they start the bell off, they can boss their friends around, everything to put the toys away. We give them a place to be in charge of where they can 100% succeed every single time. What 4-year-old is not going to take that, you know, on? They're going to love it. They're going to be king of their world.
Of course, because they're blank slates. And then they enjoy their toys more because they're not all messed up the next time they go to play
They
with
can
them.
Find it. Especially if you're running out the door to preschool and they say, Mom, where's my red, you know, matchbox car? And then suddenly you're tearing the whole house apart as opposed to, oh, well, there it is right in the bin where it's supposed to be.
You know, it's funny so we moved out of our first house. I don't know if it was our first house. Yeah. When my son was really little and we had the third one. So she's 14 now. So maybe she had just born. So it's like 14 years ago. So he must have been 5. And we had all the stuff, like especially matchbox cars. He was into matchboxes. He didn't walk till he was like 2 because he used to scoot around holding a matchbox car in his hand all the time. So we would be going through these bins and putting things. Oh, you know, we had so many pieces like doors and we're just like, you know what? Let's just get rid of this stuff. It's all ruined. So he would walk into the room and he would take something out of a bin, like a door. And he'd be like, I need this, Mommy. And he would walk across the room, pull this bin off of another shelf, open it up, dig through it and find the door, find the car. I don't know how he would do it and snap it on. Like I could ever find this stuff. So like funny the way kids' minds work. Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't important to you and it was important to him.
Right.
The funny thing is I do a lot with American Girl dolls, accessories and
my
stuff.
My other one has American Girl dolls too. We need to like box them up and save them for her kids now.
Yep. But different levels of what kind of organization people want, which is why I talk to the kids. Like I'll say to the mom, like, is your child, like, does she like to be organized or not at all? Because, I mean, American Girl doll accessories can all go in a bin or we can hang them on hangers so that the little girls can take them off the hangers, which is usually a pain, but some little girls love that. Some moms love that too, so it looks like a little shop. I've right. even gone where all the accessories are in a Ziploc bag attached to the hanger, because that's what that family likes.
Right. So each bag has their little outfits all together.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
All depends upon the individual, you know, family, which is why I talk to them first to find out what's going on in your world. What do they like? What do they not like?
Right. What gives the kids ownership too of what they're.
Exactly. That's what it all comes down to, is like putting the kids in charge of their own world. We can't expect them to function as teenagers if we've never let them.
I agree. You know, it's funny. The one reason I was attracted to what you do and the videos and everything was because I've always been a neat freak. Like, I've always been very organized, and, you know, you could walk into a room and move a couple things and I would come in and be like, wait, something moved here. You know, just because I was just always like that. And maybe it was because my mom, you know, I don't know. I have no recollection of why I'm like that, but maybe that's why, because my mom was always like, pick that up or pick that, let's put it away.
Mm-hmm. But I bet you can find everything now.
Oh yeah. I know where everything is. Exactly. My stuff.
Yeah, which is great. Saves you time.
Kids lose things all the time. They're like, you know, I had that, daddy. I'm sure I had it. Put it here. You sure you put it there? Cause it's not there now.
No one else
would touch it. So go back to what you did. And then you find, you know, my kids are pretty organized, but you know, they're not, we were good when we were young, but a lot of the bins now are like storage bins. So they don't even have a shelf. They're in the garage.
And yeah. I was just going to say, if you give each of your kids some sort of bin somewhere in your house and just tell them whenever you have something you're not putting in, where it, then throw it in the bin, then they're going to, each of them get their own bin. Then they're always going to know where it is.
Yeah. That was another mistake we made. We started keeping all of our, each kid had a bin, right? So everything you keep from your kid, they make something at school, they make a line and a crayon. You're like, I got to keep this. This is from my kid. And then you get older and you're like, why did I keep all this stuff? And you start paring it down to a scrapbook.
One tip that I always do for that, because moms are always like, well, where do we do with all this stuff? So I'll give each kid their own like little art gallery rail. So the kids are in charge of what gets switched out and what stays. So you don't have tons of stuff everywhere.
Right.
Again, giving them ownership. But at the same time, when they take something down, the mom or dad takes a photo of the kid holding the piece so that the kid feels it's acknowledged. But at the same time, later in life, you can tell which child did it. And you can see how happy they are when they did it, because you've got that recorded. Versus when you look at a piece later that's decaying away up in the attic. First of all, it's now become a mess and you don't even know who did it.
Yeah, you
but
can't
you're trying to save
out.
The memories. You don't need to save the stuff. You need to save the memories.
Yeah, I think that's nowadays with digital stuff, cameras, and makes it a lot easier.
Right.
We were young.
Well, I had a mom just the other day. She bought my DIY course, and then there's an upgrade where you can have me design the space. So she did that. So I was talking to her, and she was in a small home. And she had the problem that her daughter loved to build. The playroom you couldn't work in. It was too small and too full of junk. So she would build things out in the living room, like big creations, big cities. And then the mom would always say to the child at the end of the day, well, we need to take this down now because we need to live here. And the daughter would have a meltdown every single day. Right? Of course. She spent all day building this. We got to do it. So I said to her, why don't you just take a picture of the creation, you know, with your daughter in it or whatever. And so she said to me, well, that has really helped, that there's no more tantrums anymore. And I said, well, then now why don't you teach her, because she was sick, teach her how to print out the photos and give her a scrapbook that she can keep them in. And that'll buy you another 2 hours of time where she's busy without needing you. And she's like, oh, my God.
It's creative thinking. People aren't very creative. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And think about what's the problem here? The problem was not that the mom needed the living room. The problem was that the daughter didn't want her creations disregarded.
She spent the whole day doing it. It's like a big time in your life, right? You're young. That's a whole. Yeah, sure. So do you, with your DIY course, is it, can people like, if you help them design the space, now where do they get the stuff? Like, let's say they're not in New Jersey, right? They're in Texas. So they say, Evelyn, we want your help doing this, design it for us. And then you help them get the stuff to put the room together?
Yeah, I give them all the links directly, but almost everything is from IKEA and Amazon.
Okay.
So you can get it anywhere. IKEA delivers no matter where you are. We did one of the very first virtual ones. I did was in Montana, and IKEA delivered to Montana. It took a while. Okay. She's like, okay, it's at the freight thing. I'm like, okay.
Right.
You know, we're so used to here.
Just, down and, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, which IKEA do you want to go to? But yeah, so she did her whole space all by herself. That was like a couple of years ago, even before the DIY course existed. But yeah, so if somebody hires me to design it for them, I give them the links direct to what specifically they need in their room. But if someone just purchases the basic DIY, all the options are listed with the links also. So it's pretty simple. I think in steps all the time. Yeah. So I break it down.
Right. So eventually what we have to do is when your DIY course becomes nationwide and everybody mm-hmm. wants to use you and have you consult, you also do your own line of the stuff. Yeah. You'll say Toy Tamer on it and you'll have the bins and the whole thing. And then you say, here's the package here. It's on its way. We design the whole thing. You arrange it. And they send it to them. I mean,
we've nowhere to go but up. Exactly.
Yeah, and it's not a business that's dying. I mean, people are going to be having kids forever, and they're always going to have messed up playrooms. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, more toys, right? Because now, I think when we were younger, we had less toys, and they lasted longer, and they weren't as available, right? It was just the local Grand Variety or whatever the place was near me.
Yep.
And now everything's disposable, and you can order new ones. You can't even get a printer now. It's cheaper to get a new printer.
Mm-hmm.
Than it is to fix
the old
print.
One.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of things like that. So I think toys are kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah. And like I have sometimes grandparents say to me, oh, I had a toy box. That's all I needed. I'm like, that's great. Toy boxes are bottomless pits now because they just get shoved full of stuff and nobody can find anything. But they had a lot less toys back then.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I've done playrooms. I was talking to somebody yesterday and usually an average playroom will have about, let's say, 35 to 45 cubbies, which this is like one cubby.
For the jobs you do, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, the job that I do. Or, yeah. But I've done playrooms up to 200 cubbies.
Wow. It's a
big
playroom.
Yeah, I did a job in Long Island. I had an upstairs playroom and downstairs playroom, a secret room and an art room.
Now, do the number of cubbies, how is that affected by the kind of toys they have, the different types of toys?
How many toys? Yep. So I go in and I take a look and I can envision how much we're going to need. Sometimes we need, like, it's a small space. We need to fill up all the rooms with all the space we can with storage.
Right.
Whereas, and depending on how many toys they have, whereas if it's a larger space, it's not quite that big. And then it also comes in, you want to balance the space. You want it to look good. It has to function, but it has to look good. I talked to somebody yesterday. They wanted to put all the storage stuff on one side and there were windows on the other. I said, your whole room's going to feel crooked when you walk in and you're going to wonder why nobody's going in the room. And I said, it's going to be because it feels uncomfortable. You need to put some storage on this side by the windows to balance it out.
So there's a little feng shui of what you do too. Like
There is. Exactly. And my creativity comes out when I walk into the space because I'll know what needs to go where just within myself so that it will look right when it's done.
Yeah. It's funny. People listening to us, we're having a philosophical conversation about playrooms.
Exactly, about toys.
Happens then in Christmas time, Hanukkah, birthdays, you go through a season. Now they get all these new toys. Then what happens? What do you train them to do?
Everything is sorted. So chances are they're going to get more Magnet tiles that go into the Magnet tile bin. They're going to get more Lego that go into the Lego bin. They're going to get a few Barbies that go into the Barbie bin. However, if they need a whole new category, it's the same thing as if they age out. The parents just shoot me a photograph, send it to me, print it out, laminate, put the words on it. They clip it right in. It's also, it works great for like a half size bin. If it's all full of Barbies, and you're at the store and your daughter's saying she wants another Barbie, you don't have to be the bad guy. You can say to her, well, where are we going to put it? The bin's full.
So it's
not you being the bad guy. You're making her think, well, where am I going to put it?
Like, oh, we can get rid of some of the money, buy a new one.
Exactly. Right. So then you go home and you get rid of some of them. But it's not you being the bad guy saying we have to get rid of some of these toys. You never play with them. Because I guarantee if you have a six-year-old girl and you pick up like an infant rattle or something and say, oh, we're going to get rid of this. You don't need it. She's going to say, that is my favorite toy of all time.
Right, of course. I haven't touched it in 4 years.
Exactly.
It's my
favorite thing. But exactly. Whereas if you say to her, okay, we have a bin of, you know, a bin of infant toys, which you wouldn't have for a six-year-old anymore at that point anyway.
Right,
but if you did, we have a bin of, let's say, Calico Critters. And now you're into American Girl dolls. What do you think? Should we get rid of the Calico Critters to make more room for the American Girl dolls? What is she going to say?
If she wants the girl dolls, she's going to be like,
exactly.
Right.
So again, the parents aren't the bad guys. It's the structure limiting what you can keep.
Yeah.
And it's not the mom saying that's how much we can keep. Because if you don't have a bin for certain things and it just gets left all over the house, there's no limit. You can keep throwing American Girl dolls into that living room because it's going to take a really long time before your living room is filled up with American Girl dolls.
Yeah.
But if you have a specific bin and a specific ledge where they all fit and there's no more room for the new one, like, what are you going to do?
Right.
Decision needs to be made by the child.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to do it. And it saves parents the aggravation of having to say yes all the time.
Parents aren't the bad guy. And at the same time, it's teaching the kids skills they're going to need. I mean, when they're in their college dorm, And if they don't have storage for stuff or bring things in storage, like what's going to happen? They're going to, yeah, exactly. And they're going to be drowning in stuff and they won't be able to find their homework and, you know, everything.
Right. Yeah. So do you, I understand you give the labels and stuff on an ongoing basis. Do you have like an update service or a maintenance service where you come in and you make changes and additions and things like that?
I can if people don't want to do it themselves. Yeah. I call it a toy tamer tune-up.
Toy tamer tune-up. Look, you got all these terms. See, that's what makes it franchisable too.
Yeah. So like I'm going to go do one in a couple of weeks only because we did her playroom and then I'll do kids spaces, any kids spaces.
Right.
So she has kids stuff in her garage. So she wanted to know if I'd come in and do some garage stuff. And since my husband's brain thinks that way too, we could do that. So we're going to go in and do some stuff in her garage. So she said, while you're here, can you take some new photos? I'm like, sure. Cause it's all in one box. It's easy. I bring my own printer and everything.
Right.
So it's easy to do it. So yeah, but I have gone and done like a tune up for people, but I don't have to, if they send me pictures, that's fine. I have one woman that she has 2-year-old twins and then one younger one,
right,
all boys. So they're at the age where toys are changing all the time because their abilities are changing. So I'd say every month and a half, 2 months, she sends me new pictures and I send her new labels and she clips them in and it's good to go.
Have you trademarked the name Toy Tamer?
Yes.
And the Toy Tamer tune-up?
No, because that's just a very small part of it, but the Toy Tamer.
Yeah, but it's a good one. No, you got to protect your intellectual property. You know,
it took me so long to copyright it because there's a product out there called Toy Tamer, which is a bag that holds toys somehow that, in my opinion, doesn't work as well as a bin.
Right.
But we had to go at it from a different way. It took me a while, but it's done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's things you learn. You find out other people are doing things and can you get around it and different stuff like that.
See, this is one of my new advertising things.
Nice. The Toy Tamer.
It's a coaster.
Yeah.
Because my customers only stop for certain things. One of them is to meet friends at a bar. Young parents.
Okay.
Or take their kids out.
So you have them at bars? You get them placed at bars?
Yep.
Interesting. Because that's the kind of thing, like, you see at a bar, you're like, what is that? Like, you, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't expect it to be there.
Right. But that's one of the few times they stop.
Yeah. That's what I mean. They're
exactly.
They're decompressing. They're like out of the house. Mm-hmm. That's smart.
Yep.
That's smart. But you do most of your prospecting business development on social media.
Yes, definitely. And referrals from other people. But yeah.
Right. Obviously from happy customers and people. But those people are probably sharing their videos, right? I mean, it's all through
social media. Yes and no. It's hard for people to say, my playroom was a mess, so I called somebody in.
You're right. My life is a mess and I brought in a professional.
Exactly. It's a little hard for people to say that. But when people come for play dates, that's when they see it. So I always leave my customers with postcards they can hand out too.
It's definitely a service that kind of sells itself when people see it. You know, they're like, oh my God, I have to have that, right?
Exactly. Which I'm happy that I had time finally to do the DIY course because I had a lot of people. It's not that toy taming is really expensive. I mean, an average job to do the entire thing, including all the supplies and everything, is about $2,800.
Yeah, but that's not cheap for everybody. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
That includes the materials too, right? You have to buy the materials.
Everything.
Yeah.
No, that includes the materials. Yeah, that includes everything.
Right.
But so that's why I'm happy as able to do the DIY model because that opens up a whole group of people who couldn't, like budget-wise, couldn't have me coming in, but now they can do the same thing.
Plus outside your area, they can use you too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. So probably like other organizing companies are probably a good fit.
Yes.
If you franchise it, you can sell that to closet organizers. You're going to come and do the basement too.
Well, it's a little tricky because of the fact it's not just putting in a system. It's not just putting in a structure.
It's designing.
It's putting in a system.
Yeah.
So what happens now, at least locally, is like if I get somebody who says, will you come to my kitchen? I'll say no, but I know someone who can.
Right.
And other organizers will be, can you come in and do my playroom? As if they know about me, they're like, no, because it's not going to stay that way.
Right.
So let me give you to the toy tamer.
Yeah. You know, the psychology of the whole thing. Yeah.
Right. And most organizers don't want to touch toys. Same way. I don't want to touch your kitchen. They don't want to do toys.
Right. No, but I understand what you're saying because a lot of you're doing things with a purpose. Like there's a reason that the bins are a certain height and that the things are a certain level and the different stations and a bell and all that kind of stuff. And they might not get it. Yeah, that's
right.
That's
organizers in fact, I just did a podcast with two organizers, someone from California Closets and someone who is a professional organizer.
Okay.
And they were both like, I would never do what you do because it's not what they do.
Right.
You know, like this one woman said, I've done playrooms And the woman wanted to know, how is it going to stay that way? Actually, she called her back in. I think she came in and she did like a closet for her. And the woman called her back in. So the woman, the organizer went back and she's like, the kids aren't keeping it neat. And right. The woman was like,
I don't know what to tell you. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's your interest. It's what you're interested in. It's what you understand. You
what
get
I love.
It. Right. Exactly.
Love it.
But I think that if you built a, see, that's what makes it franchisable, because if you teach the people the tips and the tricks and the psychology of building these rooms and the things you got to know about kids and why they do things, I think that is something that's teachable, but it's not something that a lot of people can figure out on their own. They can buy the stuff.
Exactly.
They can buy the stuff.
But then they still don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, they're like, Evelyn, I bought the stuff. I'm putting this. Why isn't it working? And you're like, well, and you'll give them 50 reasons why it's not working.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the way kids think. And this is why he's not putting it in the bin. And the bin's too high. And he's not pulling it out. And the name and the, you know, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Best. Which is all second nature to me now.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's to you, it's like intuitive, but it's not intuitive to most people.
Right. No, not a bit. And it's interesting because during all this time at home, like I said, I've been doing lots of tips and everything. And people, if they wanted to, they could watch all the tips and understand the whole concept and kind of come up with it themselves. But most people won't because
no
it's
way.
Too big.
Right.
There's too many moving parts.
Right.
Like, I forget, maybe it was on our networking thing. No, it wasn't. It was a different one. Somebody had said to me, well, why don't you do 1 hour consults online with people, you know, now to make some money while you can't get out? I said, because doing an hour isn't going to help the problem.
Right.
It's not going to do anything. It's like a Band-Aid.
Right.
It's like, it's going to help you for a day, but then it's going to be a mess again. I said, I can't do for an hour. It's like, you got to do the whole thing.
Right.
And then it all works great.
Right. Because you know what
to ask. You can't do like a little piece.
You know what to pinpoint.
Exactly.
You know things that jump out at you. You know what the problem is, even though they don't know it.
Right.
Because you've solved
it
before. Yeah. You have all these case studies, basically. You have like 60 case studies.
Yeah, we've done
hundreds
of playrooms.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, I so appreciate you coming on. What's interesting about the podcast, what I do is I meet all kinds of people that do all kinds of businesses and make, you know, livings all kinds of ways. And I think it comes down to the people that are successful are people that really just love what they do. Like, you know, you don't do it. I mean, you do it to make money. It's your job. I understand that. But you do it because you love to have the results
exactly.
of showing parents that they're, you know, their lives have changed. They're like, you relieve their stress to a certain extent.
Yeah, it is life changing. And I love being able to do that. It's kind of funny. I found something that didn't exist that feeds into everything that I like to do. I like to be organized. I love children. I have a background in psychology. I like to think in like steps and it's
fits
uncreative.
You too. Right. And
so
it
just works for me. We do the same sort of stuff in each playroom because like you said, we know what works and what doesn't, but every playroom looks different when we're done.
Right.
Because
they're all
playroom
shaped
has
differently, different
feel
toys.
To it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, for example, I'm right now, I'm working with somebody. I've done a bunch of her rooms already, and now she wants a craft room for her daughter from, bizarrely enough, a closet we did ages ago, but regardless. So one of the questions I asked her is like, well, what's your daughter's favorite color? And she's like, light purple. And like, because I want to figure out how to make this little closet something that the daughter wants to go into.
Right.
So by simply getting large purple dots and putting them in strategic areas so that it looks like fun in the room, it'll be welcoming and she'll want to go into it.
Right.
Whereas if I didn't put that in there, it's like a little closet. Who wants to walk in there?
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think it's interesting because if you have, I lost my train of thought. I was going to say something and you mentioned the purple stuff. I don't remember what I was going to say, but
about
I don't remember.
About
yeah, no, I think that, well, I think
the kids
that
need.
You, yeah, I think that what you're doing is not only helpful to the kid, the parents, but I think it's helpful to the kids. They grow up and they don't realize why they're so organized and they get satisfaction out of it.
Yep. It's helpful to the parents in the somewhat short run of a couple years that the playroom is an active place, but it's really helpful to the kids for their entire life.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I find it hard, unbelievable to believe that there's no one else out there doing this, which you haven't found this person. Because if my wife said to me, you know, our playroom's a mess, there's got to be somebody out there who does this. And I would do a search and there'd be nobody. She'd be like, well, you're not looking hard enough. There's got to, you know, we live in a world where everything's available, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just really weird. I mean, I found one other company that does it up in Westchester that is known for playrooms. But what they do is they go in and they put in really cute like beds and like cute like swings, but there's no toy storage.
Right. There's no organization side to it.
Exactly.
Right.
It's addressing it from the decor view, decor like lens, as opposed to how is this going to function? Like right now on the internet and everything, there's all these playrooms that people keep posting pictures of that are very like white and beige, and they're very calm, and they all have been like these full size ones.
Yeah.
And I look at it and go, there is no way that that is ever going to work or stay like that. Right. So now there's a bigger thing where people will post like the Instagram version of the playroom and then the real playroom. And it's a complete disaster area.
Of course. Well, because what they're doing is they're making these attractive rooms.
Yes, exactly. But that they don't function.
They don't solve the problem.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
they solve it temporarily, but 30 days from now, it's going to be a nightmare again.
The next day, not 30 days. And then what happens is that they don't actually subconsciously, they don't want the parents don't want the kids to go and play in the room because it's going to mess it up.
And they got to clean it up again. Yeah,
exactly. Which is completely defeating the purpose of a playroom.
Right. Yeah.
Let's set it up so the kids can keep it neat and clean. Yeah, exactly. So let's set it up so the kids can keep it neat and clean, but at the same time, it looks good.
Right. No, that's the key. The key is getting the kids to keep the room neat so they can keep playing with their stuff and the parents don't have to do it.
Exactly. And that the kids love to clean it up.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what happens.
Fantastic.
I call it the same method of organizing.
Wish I met you 15 years ago.
But, that's what everybody says. Where were you when my kids were little?
Right. And we were good at it. I mean, we were good at keeping. I mean, you'd have to clean things up, and it was a nightmare. But we didn't.
Yeah, it was a thing you had to do at the end of every day.
Yeah, it was pulling teeth. Most of our friends were like, ah.
Exactly. They're going to outgrow it at some point. Why am I worrying about it?
Right.
Right. But then they're not playing with the toys. There's just too much stress. I say it's the same method of organizing. S stands for sort. That's what everybody does. Take out the stuff that's broken, the things they've outgrown, whatever. A stands for arrange, means the right cubbies, the right storage bins, the right things that are going to work. N stands for name. That means labels. And in kids' world, photo labels always hanging on the shelf, never on the bin. And the E stands for everyone. You want a system that everyone, except for the mom or the parents, can participate in, that the kids are in charge of. They start it, they end it, they do it.
See, another thing to trademark, the SANE method.
The SANE method. Well, that's my DIY course. It's called the SANE way to organize your playroom.
Nice.
S-A-N-E.
Nice. But that's an acronym you created, right?
Actually, I was at a presentation years ago, and I had a different acronym, and somebody said, no, you should call it this. I'm like, okay.
There you go. It's always good to steal things from other people when they're good ideas.
Exactly. Because I was like, I couldn't figure it out, but that worked perfect.
Very nice. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on, spending time with me. And,
thank you for having me on.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.